Welcome to another Rural Realities podcast, presented by the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
On this episode of the Rural Realities podcast, we are talking about communications on the farm. Farmers learn so many things to run their businesses. Things like handling livestock, equipment maintenance, accounting, genetics, market analysis, and as you can imagine, the list goes on and on. One thing farmers aren't often taught, though, is how to effectively communicate. Add that to working with family, and it can be a bit of a challenge and often a really big stressor. I'm Karen Endress, Farmer Wellness Program Coordinator for the Wisconsin Farm Center. And according to the USDA, family farms make up 98% of all farms in the country, and they provide 88% of total agricultural production. So, communications, right? Can you imagine communicating to your coworker how you speak to your brother? It gets a little interesting. So joining me today is Ted Matthews, a mental health practitioner with over 30 years of experience in counseling in rural areas. That's important. He's used to working with farmers and working in our rural communities. He is the director of Minnesota Rural Mental Health and has focused on farmer mental health support for the past two decades. Welcome, Ted. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. When I first started, farms looked so much different than they do now. What I see now is when people talk about family farms, there's such a combination of things going on that it just doesn't look at all the same. And unfortunately, far too many therapists try to simply, you know, do the ABCs of mental health. And you need to understand all the dynamics that go on with farming in order to do that. And over the years, I've worked with every kind of farm imaginable, and every one of them have different kinds of issues. So working with people, you need to understand who you're working with, because it makes a big, big difference if you're working with an apple farmer or a crop farmer or a hog producer or a dairy. The differences in their farm are vast, and you need to have a base understanding of those things in order to truly help the people you're working with.
Thank you for sharing that. And that is true. Agriculture, we all have our commonalities, but we also have very unique characteristics and a unique culture within what part of the industry we are in. And as a member of a farm family, you know, this topic of communication, Ted, is really close to home for me, and I have so many things I want to ask. But let's start with why communication on our family farms is so difficult, and what are some of the common misunderstandings?
Well, difficult because it wasn't done before. Husbands and wives had roles that were absolute for thousands of years. A woman on the farm, her job was to raise little farmers and to do everything inside the home. And now women work off the farm, and women do something that they never did before, which is the books. And so they have opinions on how to spend and when to spend and if you should spend. And that creates all kinds of issues between husbands and wives. And when you look at that, you need to understand that the farm is only a piece of that farm family, whereas in the past, the farm was everything. Now it's a piece of things. Women who work off the farm, if they don't get the respect that they deserve because most of the time, women work off the farm for a couple of reasons. One, to pay down the debt, and two, and or to pay for the insurance. So they need to get the respect that they're due. And if they come home and all they hear is what's going on in the farm, what about them? And that is a lack of communication. And it forever was never, it wasn't needed in the past. Now it's crucial in order to have a healthy family farm.
Yeah, that's very true. Women have always been farmers, right? They just had different roles on the farm, but weren't always given the credit for what they brought to the business. And so, and now I can see that working off the farm. When you come home, you want to talk about other things, not necessarily just the farm, but also those that are working on the farm need someone to talk to, because if they're working with family all day, they may not be able to share openly what's on their mind because it won't be well received.
Absolutely. And always remember that it's a whole lot harder to communicate difficult situations with family than it is with non-family. We have this thing called emotion, and I can hurt your feelings to the point where you don't want to talk to me for a few days. Well, if it's a work situation, you can be angry and you can be frustrated. You go home, the next day you go back to work, and things have calmed down. But if it's a family situation and it's my spouse that hurts my feelings, that's not just going to go away quickly. So that creates a lot more issues.
Right. And then can you also touch a little bit on, just because we're family doesn't mean we have similar personalities. Could you touch a little bit on communications with introvert versus extrovert? We hear those terms a lot, but what does that mean and how can that really impact effective communication?
Well, the big thing about being introvert or extrovert is understanding your personal process. If I'm an introvert, I don't need to talk to you. And the more introverted I am, the less interest I have in communicating things. That's what an introvert is. And so the process becomes, when I have to talk, I will, but I just assume not. And when I do have to talk, I want to get it over with as soon as possible. If another person on the farm is an extrovert, their belief is we need to talk this through. And it takes a lot more than just your 12 words that you just threw at me. This is a big issue. We need to focus on all of these things. And so you have two people literally arguing with each other simply because one's an introvert and one's an extrovert, and it has nothing to do with what the situation is. So we need to understand then that as an introvert, this is how I think. As an extrovert, this is how I think. So if we go into the communication understanding that, then we're going to have a whole lot more opportunities to solve whatever issue it is that we need to solve.
That is a really good tip that I think can help a lot of our listeners, is identifying if you have more introvert personality or more extrovert, and the people that you're managing the business with, so that you approach that communication better and that it can be more effective. So I really appreciate that. What about the topic of mental health, or I like to call it brain health, versus mental illness? I think there's a little bit of confusion out there on that, and people are wondering, what is the difference?
There is a lot of confusion. And the big thing is, when I'm talking about mental health, I'm talking about being mentally healthier. That's what I'm looking at. Mental illness, one of the problems that I've seen, and more so on farms, I think, than in urban areas, is the concept that, you know, it's not bad enough yet to deal with. I can still hold it together. I still know what I want to do. I still know how I want to do it. I can still cope. And my question for anyone who thinks that way is, maybe you can, but why would you want to? Why wouldn't you want to get healthier sooner so you don't put yourself into a position of you know, possible suicidal ideation or divorce, or why wouldn't you focus on it right away? So mental illness means it's gone that far and you need to be focusing on that mental illness, whatever that happens to be. Mental health means getting healthier and focusing on how I can make my life better and make my family's life better.
That's really interesting. And as you were talking, I had that farm culture running in my head about farmers, right? Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and work through it, because that's what we do in farming. If you have a problem, figure out how to fix it. And sometimes, especially in today's modern society, where the pressures are different, our lifestyles are different, I love that we will be better off in the long run if we just take a pause and work on helping our mental health just like we would our physical health. So I appreciate you sharing that.
And that absolutely goes right into the focus of communication between family members on the farm. If I'm not talking about how I'm feeling and I'm holding it in and holding it in and holding it in and holding it in, I'm going to be also lashing out, because the more stress I feel, the more anxiety I feel, the less I communicate that with the people that are closest to me, the more I'm going to throw out these little quip anger things. And, you know, as I tell everyone, anger by itself doesn't exist. It comes from another emotion, and it's almost always the soft emotion. My feelings are hurt, or I'm jealous. And so when I look at that, and when I look at communicating those things, I need to truly focus on, if I can express those things early, then I'm going to feel better. And proof of that is every time people do it in my office, even if it's difficult, by the time they leave, they feel better. It's not a comfortable conversation to begin with, but it's a whole lot more comfortable when it ends, and it beats the heck out of somebody expressing their anger and showing that anger and then saying, gee, I'm sorry, I know I shouldn't have gotten angry. Remember, when I get really angry with someone and I snap at them, I feel that way for maybe 5 seconds. Then I calm down and maybe even I apologize right away and go from there. But the person I say it to, the person I do that to, remembers it forever.
That's kind of what we think about with family farms, right? And when you say remember it forever, we take some of these feelings back even to our childhood, where we had a big fight or we got injured because of a shove or something went down, but we hang on to that for so long.
And sometimes it never goes away, even though we only felt that way for a little while. So, and you know, I tell people this all the time. Guess when I see the most clients in marriage counseling? Right after harvest. And what happens is, you know, we have all these great excuses as to why we can say the things we do. You know, I only got 4 hours of sleep for 12 days in a row, and I was tired, and, you know, I didn't want to answer those stupid questions at the time because I had all these things to do. All these legitimate reasons to snap at someone, and then when it's all over, then it's like, oh, geez, you know I shouldn't have done that. We should have talked about it, or I should have told you that we can talk about it later or something. That's too late, because we're talking about human emotion. We're talking about feelings. We're talking about if you attack me and you have a good reason to be stressed, you still attacked me. You still made me feel those things. And so I need to make sure that I don't do those things. And the best way to do that is to look at them beforehand, work on them beforehand, and say, you know, this is what happens during harvest. So let's go through this. Let's talk about this, because I know my personality. You know your personality. Let's talk about this before harvest so we have a clue. And maybe we can even laugh about it and say, yeah, you do that. Yeah, I do that. and it becomes less of a burden rather than the moment to moment when the stress is really high going on.
Those are some really good tips. And I would say, obviously, harvest or planting or any other busy time of the year. And I think when you're talking about even family or relationship communication, if you know that during this 4 weeks you are going to be so busy, but making sure you have a plan ahead of time, how can I still support the house? Or what things do I need to make sure are taken care of to take pressure off of the other one, your partner in the house, right? Because not only is the communication breaking down, but you are exhausted and you don't have time to do the things you typically do.
Always remember, too, one of the most powerful things you can ever say to a loved one is, you know that hurt my feelings. Why would you do that? Think about how you can answer that question.
No, that's very thought-provoking, and I'm going to spend some time on that myself. And as we're talking about this, our frustrations and how they affect communication, what are those things? Like, what, we've talked through them a little bit, but if I'm frustrated because of a communication that we've had, what actually goes on? What happens?
People don't listen. People assume a lot of things. They assume you understand something that you may or may not understand. And frustration comes from, I've said this to you 100 times, you tell me you understand it, and yet you keep doing it. And the reason a person keeps doing it is because they don't see it in the same light, and they need to be able to accept the fact that I feel this way because it's part of who I am. It's not a right. It's not a wrong. It's a feeling. It's an emotion. I am going through this because I feel something. As an example, some people like to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and that's their favorite time of the day. And they get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they jump out of bed, they make a pot of coffee, and they're having coffee, and they love it. And maybe their spouse hates 5 o'clock in the morning, and instead of understanding that I love it, you hate it, what they do is they try to talk themselves both ways into believing that 5 o'clock in the morning is a great time to get up and you should enjoy that. Or the opposite end, where 8 o'clock in the morning is a whole lot better because you get more sleep and you're more rested. And so things as simple as that can cause conflict for a lifetime of relationship, simply because they're not accepting what the other person is saying. They're trying to talk them into seeing their wisdom, and their wisdom works for them, but not the other person.
That's really true. And I think even as you talked about, you stop listening when you're frustrated, or not being heard, or choosing the wrong time to talk, like all of those things kind of really bundle up and then make for really bad communication. So let's talk listening skills a little bit, because we've mentioned it a few times. You either stop listening, or you're not listening, or you're not being heard. When I heard you speak recently, you talked about that we want to be heard, but not fixed. And so can you talk a little bit about that, and then talk about the importance of developing our listening skills and what that means?
Well, you know, one of the big things, when I'm feeling something, I don't care what it is. I'm stressed because my daughter is having a tough time with her boyfriend, and she doesn't want to talk to me about it. And I want to hear it because I think I can help her, and I want to understand what she's going through, and I want to hear what she has to say. The tendency we have is to put our mind into a fixed mode, which is, she says, you know, my boyfriend is always late and that drives me crazy. And my response needs to be, so So tell me about that. What do you go through rather than, well, he shouldn't be doing that, and you're right. If I were you, I'd tell him blah, 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 because that's not what she needs to hear. What she needs to hear is, tell me more about how you're feeling about that. What are you going through? And then asking her questions, like, what do you think you can do to make that better? How do you think you can approach that to help that situation? And you can do that with tons of husband-wife things. I mean, it might be a shock to all your listeners, but men and women don't think alike. So if we don't hear what they say, then we're going to make a lot of assumptions that aren't true simply because of gender difference. So I need to accept the fact that my wife or my daughter feel a certain way without understanding it. And that means respect. I have to respect the person that's talking to me. And if I don't bother even talking to them. If I don't respect the person I'm talking to, if they don't respect me, nothing good will happen. Nothing. So I don't have to agree. Far too often, people make this assumption that we have to agree in order to make it work. And I can think absolutely, like, my wife loves gardening and loves flowers. And as far as I'm concerned, I mean, she literally has to drag me out to the garden to tell me that this flower is growing. You know, I don't care. Now, it's not like I don't care about her, but she could easily, if we don't do this right, she could easily think that if I don't like flowers, I'm dissing her. I'm making her less of a person. I'm thinking that she's frivolous, that there's a negative thing in that. I have every right not to like flowers, but if we respect each other, we will respect those rights.
No, that's really true. And I heard a couple of things when you were talking. And again, going back to that farm culture, we like to fix things, right? So if someone's telling me their problem, my immediate thing that pops into my brain is how to fix it, especially when our kids, and now we're working with our kids on the farm, let's say, or working with that next generation. And so they're bringing you a frustration and you want to fix it instead of helping them think through how to fix it themselves, or because they probably have different ideas, they need to talk about it, but they're not coming to us to fix it. They're just coming to vent the frustration. And so active listening skills can be really important in these situations. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And we also have to remember that kids are kids. You know, when we're 13, we know everything. And then when we find out when we're 14, we realize that we weren't very smart at 13. But now that we're 14, we know everything. And 15, same thing. So far too often when people talk to their kids, they try to talk to them on an equal basis. We are not equal. And the reason we're not equal is they've never been 30. They've never been 20. We have. So we've lived that life. We see things that they can't have seen because they're not old enough yet. So when we talk to them and when we focus on things and when we look at those things, we need to make sure that we know those things and how we approach that with them in a gentle manner so we're not condescending and we're not lecturing, because far too often we forget what we were like when we were 13, 14, 15, 16, and we talk to them as though they're adults and they're not. So we need to understand that they will not get what it's like to be a 30-year-old when they're 15, but they think they do. They think they know. So who's the responsible one? The adult.
I'm curious, as you talked about that, I was thinking about this whole conversation we have often on our farm or in our house about the different generations, and you hear about millennials and they have a different work ethic, and so they almost get stereotyped into some of these beliefs when often is they just have an expectation or a different, they want different things from life. And again, doesn't this all go back to communication?
Absolutely. And, you know, work ethic and millennials and all those things. I hear so often, you know, this idea that, you know, well, when I was growing up on the farm, I could only play one sport or I couldn't play any sports. I had all these jobs on the farm and I had to do all of these things. And so now their kids don't have to do any chores and can play all the sports they want and do all the things that they weren't able to do. And then somehow miraculously, we expect them to have a great work ethic when they turn X, Y, Z age. That's not how it works. Work ethic comes from work. So if we don't expect our kids to do things and chores on the farm, then we can't expect them to have a good work ethic when they get older.
Oh, you had me smiling at that one. So it's true. And we can't expect them to want what we wanted out of life either, right? Like our kids, we've raised them to be individuals. I think things have changed on, you know, in our culture, in our society. And so we have this struggle of we want it to stay the same, but yet we promote it and change it because we want them to have other opportunities than what we had.
Absolutely. And how we communicate those things with our kids, it's like, understanding our kids, they're also needing to understand where we're coming from, but that doesn't mean they're going to like where we're coming from.
Exactly, exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit about farm stress. I work with farmers under stress every day, as you do, and we face a lot of different stressors, especially in our modern societies. We've talked about a few of them, working with family. But also our markets are very unstable. Those things are changing all the time. We're having to change how we do business, what technologies we're using. Things are becoming more complex. So as we face all those stressors, sometimes we don't like to talk about them. I think that goes back to a little bit of that introvert versus extrovert. But what are some tips that you have that can help when farmers are facing stressors? And can you talk a little bit about when should a farmer seek help from a professional?
First of all, understand that we like to dummy down the concept of stress, meaning we define it in words, you know, like I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm right, I'm wrong, I'm good, I'm bad. And human emotion is the most complex thing in the universe. So what I'm feeling, maybe no one else feels. So what are my stressors, not what are stressors? There's 100,000 books written on stress, anxiety, and depression. If it was so simple that we just identified it, then there only needs to be one book. How come there's 100,000? And there's new books being written every day on stress, anxiety, and depression. So I need to focus on mine and not judge it for I shouldn't feel that way. That's one of the biggest faults that we have when we're looking at our own stress. I know I shouldn't worry about that. Well, I do worry about what am I going to do about my worry is what I need to be looking at, and not should I or shouldn't I. So focusing on my stress, my personal stress, and accepting the fact that I have every right to feel stressed about whatever it is that I feel stressed about. I know farmers that basically go through every single year and say, well, you have good years, you have bad years, you know, it's the way it is. Everything's, you know, I'm fine with it. This year was a good year. Next year might be a bad year. You know, I'll prepare for it. I'm good. And then you have other people that go through hell every single year, good or bad, because they're thinking about all the what ifs and if onlys and who am I is what I have to look at, and how do I take care of me personally, not how do I take care of the concept of stress, anxiety, depression.
What about that topic of legacy on the farm? What if you talk about that farmer that's going through that low every year? Because although it was a good year, maybe it wasn't good enough. Or what if they dig down and they're like, this isn't really my calling, or I'm not sure I want to do this any longer. But we all have that legacy, right? We talk about, fourth generation on the farm, fifth generation, and you have that pressure of keeping that farm going. How do you talk to people about that and what they need to do to kind of figure out, is it right for them and focusing on themselves?
Well, you know, the toughest part of that is the fact that with farming, when you're out, you're out. If you're a plumber and you say, I don't know if I want to be a plumber anymore, and then you go do some other job and you say, I was wrong. I want to get back in the plumbing. You can do it. If you're a farmer and you say, I'm going to get out, and you get out, you're done. You'll never be back because there's no way you can afford to go into farming anymore. It's not possible. So that creates even more of an issue. And when you look at that, when you look at the possibility of wanting to get out and so on, you have to look at your overall makeup. What are you thinking? What is your process? You know, Minnesota has farm advocates and farm management and me and a few other people that they can talk exclusively about what does their future hold? Where do they want it to go? Are they happy with that? Can they control any of it? Can they do something about it? And, you know, what you had asked me earlier was when would be a good time for people to come to see me or a therapist. And the answer is, if you're starting to go through those struggles, then you need to talk through those things with somebody that has the knowledge of, for one, the long term, how are you going to feel a year from now, what's going to go on. And that's not necessarily always a mental health professional. Sometimes it can be an advocate or a farm business management or extension or you know, because you have knowledge about those things that they either don't have or they've forgotten because their stress levels are so high, they're pinpointing their focus on things that aren't broad enough for them to really make a good decision.
Right. And I think I'm sure you've seen it. I know I've seen it. Often people think getting rid of the farm, and you talked about this earlier about when we want to be heard and not fixed. Sometimes people are given that recommendation. If you just sell the cows and you're not having to, for a dairy farmer, milk every morning, every night, every day of the year, your stress will be better and you'll be better. But that's not always the case, is it?
No. That's sort of like saying, well, if your kids are giving you a hard time, maybe you should sell them. You know, it's like, they're giving me stress. I have all kinds of anxiety. And am I comparing kids to cows? Yes, because that's an emotion. It's an emotion that says, I'm attached to my occupation, my life, my being, just like I'm attached to my children. You can't just say, well, it's hard now, so I'm just not going to do it anymore. You have to figure out the best thing that you can do to move forward. And it's important that people understand that if a dairy farmer gets rid of his cows, he's not a dairy farmer. And oftentimes it was like the generation before him and the generation before that and the generation before that. So look at all of that stress that they're putting on themselves and to just simply quit, what's going to happen to them then? Are they going to feel better? And if the answer is honestly yes, then go ahead and do it. But oftentimes, as you said, the answer is not yes. The answer is, how do I cope with this better? Because it's really, really bothering and hurting.
No, that's very true. And I think we need to encourage all farmers. Like you said, I thought that was a really good point you made about if you're thinking that it's too much or you may want to transition to something else, this is something you need to talk to people about. And it, like you said, it may not be a therapist. It may be someone else you trust and respect, but you need to talk through it and look further than tomorrow or the next week. I mean, you really have to, how are you going to feel about this in a year? And I think that was really good advice today. So as we wrap up our time together, first of all, thank you so much for spending time talking about communication and stress on the farm. You've left us with some really good things to think about, some good tips on communication that I'm definitely going to take back with me and work on. I love that kind of identifying introvert, extrovert on those communication on topics, and also just trying to listen so someone can be heard when they're talking to me, but not fix it. So thank you for that. If you could leave our listeners with one message today, and I know, Ted, I'm really going to push you here to do that because we've shared a lot of really good things. So one message, what would you like to share with them?
Be nice. Be nice to yourself. Understand that if you're nice to you, you have the ability to be nice to other people. It doesn't work the vice versa. Somewhere along the line, people said, if you're nice to other people, it will come back to you. It's just the opposite. If you're nice to yourself, you will have the ability to be nice to other people. So think first about taking care of yourself and being nice to yourself so you can be a better mother, a better husband, a better wife, a better citizen.
Perfect. I love that. And I always leave my kids when they exit the vehicle for the day to go to school or when we end our conversations, I always love to end my conversations with be kind as I'm setting them out into the world. And I think I heard you and I need to listen that goes back into ourselves about being nice, being kind to ourselves. Because we do face a lot and farmers handle so many situations, their unpredictable schedules, everything that comes up in a day from caring for animals, the land, whatever type of farming they're doing. And so bringing that back, and that's a perfect way to end our podcast today, is be nice. So thank you so much for joining us today, Ted. And I look forward to having a conversation with you again in the future.
Sounds great. Take care.
The Wisconsin Farm Center with the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection provides a variety of services to farmers and farm families across Wisconsin, including financial consulting, transition planning, conflict mediation, veterinary diagnostic analysis, a farmer wellness program, and more. For additional info, you can call the Wisconsin Farm Center toll-free at 1-800-942-2474 or email them farmcenter@wisconsin.gov. Also, the website address is datcp.wi.gov. Also, if you're experiencing depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, or just need a welcoming ear to talk to, call the free and confidential 24/7 Wisconsin Farmer Wellness Helpline at 888-901-2558 to talk with a stress counselor anytime. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Rural Realities Podcast.